Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
All right, welcome back to the Fairway Fit Podcast. I have Brad and Greg here with us. Greg, how's it going tonight?
Going well. Happy to see you.
Yeah, it's been about a week since we have talked, and we are back, and we want to do a little bit of a recap. Last time we talked about our first major of the year. We talked about the Myrtle Beach Major. We had a little change in our program tonight. We were going to talk about us, talk about you, but I think we're going to switch it up, and we're going to recap our major. We're going to go through round to round about how well we played down there.
How well is a loosely thrown around term.
It is. It's how well we remember we played down there. been about 7-10 days since our trip, been about 7 days since we talked. We talked in our last episode that we went down there with really high expectations, and I think we got ourselves put back on the right track.
Dose of humble pie, and that's what we did, is we got a dose of straight humble pie.
Yeah, definitely did a little bit there, but I think I'm excited. I know you're excited about things we've been talking here and on through text, talking about what we've been doing over the last few weeks. Have you been able to get out on the course since our trip?
I got out once.
You did? You with me?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, we were able to get Greg out here on the course next door.
And absolutely beautiful conditions, if I may say.
Yeah, that's about all we could say about it. The conditions were cold. I think we had some gusts in the 30 to 40 mile an hour winds. It was extremely difficult at times. I think both of us came out with maybe some colds afterwards, some sickness.
Yeah, a little bit.
We got from it. That's probably about all we got from the round. Outside of you getting able to see the course out here, all 18 holes. You have played it before, but it's been a while. But you were able to see everything else, and now you know a little bit what I'm going through. But that's about it. I was able to get out a couple times before that. I think I was able to talk about that on our last episode. I have been able to get hit balls a couple times. Have you been able to get to the range at all?
No range sessions, but should I just say that I am now basically tin cup, and I am every single swing helper there is out there. I mean, I'm a tour strike guy. I'm a PVC pipe. I'm laying out stuff. I mean, I got the little thing dangling across my head. It's pretty bad. But yes, no, I did invest in the tour strike ball to help my chicken wing and help my form a little bit, which hopefully will pay dividends in the long run. My $25 investment is hopefully that pay dividends out there.
Before I ask anything about the tour strike, can we get a video of you or some sort of picture of you with all your gadgets on that we can post on social media?
Oh, we could definitely do that. That'd be an easy one.
Yeah, let's try to
work
that in.
Laura would love that picture.
I can only imagine what's going through her head when she sees you do these things.
Probably, what the hell are you doing? Go to bed. Because it's probably usually at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night in the garage.
All right. So the question about the tour striker, what do you think about it?
I enjoy it. I mean, it's for sure awkward to start because I feel like it puts me I feel like I get the whole gist of it, like keeping arms close together, keeping elbows tucked, and at this point, it feels totally unnatural to me. Like when I first started trying to swing with it, and like I started out with like half swings, like, you know, basically lead arm to shoulder. And even that felt like I was like super tight and awkward and weird. But it's getting better and better and getting more fluid. I have yet to hit a ball and or like a foam ball with it as far as a full swing, basically just kind of going through the motions with it and trying to create some muscle memory.
So do you get full swings in it? Does it come out when you're swinging? Because I know it's attached.
I have yet to finish a full swing without it popping out.
Yeah, but when you see those ads with the tour players using it, it looks like it comes out on that final finish of your follow through.
So
Have you been able to watch the videos with it?
Yeah, it comes with, I think it's 6 videos. I've gotten through like 3 of them. So, I mean, it kind of walks you pace by pace with it. It shows you how to not choke yourself with it and set it up, which is great. Shows you how to blow it up. Like, it's like, I don't know how to blow up a balloon, but I mean, you know, hey, it's baby steps right now. I'm taking all the help I can get.
I think even the half swings with it, just to get used to the motion, is, you know, at least get you started. I'm intrigued. I think it's something that I'm looking to use. I know it was a 2-for-1 deal.
And tell you the truth, I did buy you one, so I will bring it to you.
Yeah, I can't.
2-for-1 special, you get up. And like, no. Laura always gets mad at me when it's like, it's buy one, get one half off at like, or buy one, get one at the grocery store. And really, they're just trying to get rid of merchandise. But really, it's half off anyways. She's like, why'd you buy 2? I'm like, it's buy one, get one. She was like, you know, if you bought 1, it just would have been half off anyways. And I was like, well, it's a better deal. She's a lot smarter. Yeah, she's obviously the brains of the operation and the looks, and I'm just basically the brawn.
I don't know. I think places now are catching on to that, and they make you buy that too. So I'm with you. I'm with you. If you can get a deal, why not take advantage
Who
of it?
Who doesn't want 2 family-sized boxes of, you know, berry kicks?
Cheez-Its,
number 1 seed, yes.
What white cheddar Cheez-Its?
Oh, no, I'm a straight original.
Really? Yeah. I don't know. I think we need some comments here. Comment down below. Are you a white cheddar Cheez-It guy or are you a regular?
I'm blown away. I thought you were an original Cheez-It guy. I remember no, sitting in a dirty garage down in Southern Virginia at a cornhole tournament, and me and you sitting there sharing a box of Cheez-Its. And it was original Cheez-Its.
I mean, I don't think I turned a lot of Cheez-Its away. I think at that time, I definitely wasn't turning a lot of Cheez-Its away, because that's almost 5 years ago.
It was during COVID.
It was when we tried to start our pro cornhole careers.
That was true.
And we got beat by Bob's Big Boy lookalike.
Oh, dude. Yeah, Bob's Big Boy with a glove.
With a glove. I think he was half our age, probably less than half our age.
He was ridiculously good, though. I mean, he played cornhole as a 20-year vet when he was like 13.
But the definition in his calves just showed how much of an athlete he was. Because he got his steps as he walked back and forth. He did not really venture out.
The guy didn't have one fast twitch muscle fiber in his body.
No, it was straight ankle to knee. And it was skinny. It was looked like a PVC pipe from Self, but it was no definition in that calf. He has not sprinted one time in his whole life.
No. I would say that he would run probably a 11 to 12 second 40.
And that would be pretty quick for him. There were some others that would probably run slow down there, but that was definitely due to their drinking ability more than their athletic ability.
I had a good time down there.
That was fun. That was fun. The place we stayed at was pretty cool. Definitely an experience, that's for sure.
For sure.
All right, off the cornhole thing, let's talk a little bit about golf. We were able to get down. Like you said, a little over a week ago, we went down. We were able to knock out 5 rounds, 3 days. Played 90 holes of golf. And I know fitness-wise, I felt great through it. Probably could have played even 36 on that third day. I don't really ever felt like I felt fatigued. The wind beat us up a little bit, I think, on day one. The rain got to us a little bit at the end of day one. But let's go ahead and talk. Let's break it down. Let's break our numbers down a little bit. I think you've got your numbers broken down a little bit more than I do.
Pretty much I started breaking them down, and I kind of got frustrated and quit. But I have a majority of my stats.
Yeah, I do think after we do this recap, I might take my numbers, crumble them up, and throw them in the trash can, all of my notes for this, because this is it for me. This is the worst that's going to be this year. I'm going on the positive train. I'm hitting the energy bus. I am staying positive as we're moving forward from here. But I do think I think our viewers need to know where we sit.
I mean, the only way, the only way down, you're going to see my clubs on eBay, and I'm going to go back down to Southern Virginia and pursue my cornhole career, because I might be better at that. If I go any lower in golf, I'm going to be better at cornhole.
I do think down there you got the best advice for cornhole from your playing partner, where he said, just hit the board.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't know that was the point.
I do remember that. He got frustrated. He still gets frustrated in cornhole when we see him. But let's talk about it. All right, so round one, teed off early in the morning. I believe it was a Friday morning, teed off early in the morning. Now, we were about 45 minutes south of where we were staying. So we got up early, got down there, and we teed off at Willowbrook. Not Will. I don't think so. I think it's Willowbrook Plantation.
I was calling it the wrong name when I was there. No wonder they were looking at me funny in the pro shop.
They did. They almost gave you a refund. But then they realized how many divots you took and they needed your cash.
That's true.
So, but no, I think it was Willowbrook, because when I was looking through this earlier, I thought the exact same thing. Let me check Grint just to be super positive here. Caledonia tradition. Yeah, it's Willowbrook Plantation.
Oh man, I was way
club.
Off. Samsonite. And
so if I remember correctly, pretty phenomenal course. It was a little bit more inland than I thought it was going to be. I think when you think Myrtle Beach courses, you're going to be right there on the water. I know we were in Myrtle's Inlet, but I thought it was a lot more tree lined and not as much water on this course more than other
We did
courses.
Have to battle the wind, though. That morning, there was some wind.
But I didn't think it was like overpowering type.
Not crazy like we did last Sunday, but at the same time, we had a pretty solid, you know, breezy, gusty day. I mean, if you remember correctly on hole six, I hit a 3-wood that hit a wall of wind and went maybe 110 yards. Then you hit a drive, and if you remember, you had a beautiful drive. You rode the wind somehow. And then, actually, I'm sorry, not a drive. You probably hit a hybrid. Let's face it, you hit your hybrid as far as I hit my 3-wood. And you came up short on the green.
Yeah. I don't remember that 100%. I'm not doubting you at all. But looking at my numbers, I think the wind blew me into the fairway quite a bit. So that... I'll get to that fairway percentage here in a minute, but maybe that was a more helping wind for me than it was for others. Good little course, though. I thought it was a great starting course for you. I think it was the first round of the year. For me, it was a couple of rounds in, but great starting course. Greens were in good condition. I thought they were rolling well. I didn't think they were extremely fast, but they were rolling well. A little grainier than we're used to. I still have trouble reading the green sometimes outside of the visual darker color, lighter color, when they all seem to be the same color, which when there's no sun, that's the way it looked. I had a hard time reading them sometimes into the green or with the green, but common theme for me all week, didn't make any putts. What did you score down there that first round?
I went...
Well, go ahead and go through all your stats. Let's go through your stats. We'll go through my stats. That way we don't just keep jumping back and forth.
Of just Willow Creek? Sorry, not Willowbrook. Willowbrook.
Willowbrook, go you. Yeah, go you first. I just have kind of your generic stats, putts, greens, fairways, a couple bigger numbers. I can't say a couple. A lot of bigger numbers that I put up.
A lot of bigger. So
what do you got?
Let's see. I shot a 105, which was probably the biggest slap in the face. Considering, like I mentioned this last episode, I kind of went in pretty high hopes. Like I felt good. I felt like I was good to go. I felt like I was just going to be, you know, gung ho. Let's go. Like I'm going to shoot, you know, at the worst, maybe an 85, 88, somewhere around there. Didn't expect to shoot 70s first round, but a nice warm up. I was probably going to shoot mid 80s. That course punched me in the face pretty darn quickly. The driver wasn't working at all. I'm pretty sure that judging by my 105, you can figure out that a lot of those were probably double bogeys, triple bogeys plus. That was like the story of my weekend down there was triple bogeys plus. But 105, net 90, not good. Do you want like specific stats?
Yeah, let's go with the basic stuff we get off Grint, where we go, what it was, putts, greens. Yeah, putts, greens, fairways.
Let's see. Let me look that up real quick.
Yeah, while Greg's looking that up, I was able to actually felt like I started off. I didn't hit the ball very as well that day. I didn't hit the ball well all weekend, which there's my common theme there. I think both of us have that. But I was able to keep the ball in play, scored pretty well. When it came down to it, I didn't make a lot of putts. And as I was going through a lot of my numbers, if I didn't hit greens, I didn't make pars. I did not get up and down. I don't necessarily think I remembered is that my short game was that bad. I just don't remember making that 5, 6, 7 footer very often for par saves.
There wasn't many putts made that weekend. I can tell you that much.
No, I think I could probably count the mini one putts because that's how many maybe birdies I had the whole weekend. But I was able to shoot an 83 that morning. I don't think I was very disappointed with that number. I did not finish as strong on the backside. I did go 41, 42. I had 2 double bogeys on the back at 10 and 12, which I think fired me up a little bit. Was able to pull it through. But when I look at my numbers, when we talked about those one, the numbers we were looking for, I had 31 putts, which is actually pretty solid for me. I'm not going to ever say that I'm a bad putter, but I'm definitely, that's not my strong suit. I think I'm better of an iron player than I am a putter. I was able to hit 71% of my fairways.
You were 71%?
Yeah.
Good
now,
Lord.
That very easily could have been me forgetting to put that I missed the fairway, which I think is always a possibility when we're moving around quickly, but I try to be as pretty accurate. So I do remember I thought I hit the ball pretty well. And one thing I mentioned in our last talk was I really had some big numbers from the fairway all weekend. So I did not hit a lot of greens. I only hit 44% of my greens. I know one thing I always average or try to average double digits, which is right around, what's that, 55% greens, 60% greens. Out of the 18 holes. So it's at 44%
greens. I'm kind of the complete opposite.
31 putts.
I'm happy with just double-digit percentages of when it comes to greens and reg and fairways and regs. So
it's always going to be double-digit percentages.
I don't know. I've flirted with it.
10% is double-digit.
Okay, here you go then.
What's 1 for
18? Here you go. On Wilbrook Plantation, 11%. Greens and reg. All right. There's a great number for you there. 36% fairways and reg. Add 38 putts.
Okay.
And yeah. Would say that 1, 2. I went 49-56 and I had 2 pars on the front nine. Which, math yourself, that's a lot of doubles and a lot of triples and crap ton of pars.
That is. Yeah, like we said, we got off to a bang, right?
We started it with a bang and straight up was just firing all cylinders at 8 a.m., I'm sure.
Yeah, I know I did finish fairly strong after I was 2 over in the last 6 holes, and I do think that got me rolling going into the getting ready for the second round of that day. We went, they're all part of the Hammock Golf Trail down there. So I don't know if we want to call it a sister course, but we did go from Pauly's Point, I don't know where we were, Willowbrook Plantation. Yeah, we went from there. We went over to Tradition Golf Club there in the afternoon. Very similar course.
This is a course that I had already played before. I played there back during COVID when I went down there with Laura's family, and I loved it. And I'm pretty sure that I shot a low 80s round, possibly flirting with 70s round there. That might have been one of those multiple, like, 80 round that I, like, straight 80 that I shot that summer, because that was the summer that we ended up playing a bunch of golf prior to. I will say my score improved. I shot a 94 at that course. I dropped my putts down to 35. I doubled my green in regulation, went to 22% on this one. But unfortunately, my fairways and reg dropped down to 14%.
14%. Huh. So that's, I'm going to guess 14% is 1 for 14, 2 for 14.
Something like that, yeah. And, to include that, I went, on this one, I went 47-47, but had started out well, went par double to start. Had two pars on the front nine, which is, or three pars on the front nine to shoot 47. That's pretty bad. And birdied 14, which I believe that I had an eagle putt on that as well and missed it, but went 47-47 with a birdie.
Just so a little bit of background for our listeners, when Greg and I play, we do not play the tips. We do not play what we consider probably mostly in our area. We don't play the whites, which I think is your standard men's tee. We like to play kind of the in-between. Most of our courses are blue tees, which is gives us anywhere between 62 to 6,500 yards, I think it's a pretty challenging distance for us. Sometimes I do think going back maybe limits us changing clubs so much off the tee, but I think until we get our numbers down or handicaps down a little bit lower, we won't.
I don't
really
know. I peep at the tips of most courses that I play, and I'm just like, I'd hate myself if I was back there.
Yeah, but I don't think your scores would change as much, believe it or not. I think what we shoot, we would shoot. I think we would shoot it from the whites. I think we could shoot it
from
the reds.
I can shoot a 105 from anywhere.
Yeah, so I don't know. I contemplate a lot here at Stone Lee. I think going back doesn't necessarily change your approach. It changes just the ball off the tee. I do think there's some courses where if you move back, it will change not only your tee ball and your approach shot, just due to the yardages. But just for listeners, that's where we want to play. We like to play right around that range. I think that's where our most comfortable is, where we still feel like we can get the most par fives and two if we get off the tee straight or put it in play. But what also doesn't take some of that par threes to 220s, 30s, where it really is a coin flip if we're going to hit the green or even be anywhere close to the green. So I did not play very well either that round two. I went from hitting 70% of the fairways to not even hitting one fairway on the front. And I did hit five on the back. So I did not continue what I was doing. I did not take that little hot streak that I thought I had from round one into round two. I ended up with a 90. 90 was my highest round of the weekend.
We also finished the four or five holes in not pouring down rain, but pretty heavy rain.
Yeah, I was going to mention that until I looked that I played the last six holes in one over. So I think I birdied a hole right before the rain started and it got me going a little bit. And then we were moving so fast down the stretch there to try to finish. We did get the history of the course when we were checking in. And I think if we were able to cut the nice gentleman that was gave us the history of the course, maybe cut his speech in half, we would have got more holes in without being rained
on. I think
on.
We would have gotten the entire 18 in. I mean, he even answered how far above sea level we were when I just sarcastically threw that out.
Yeah, and then he followed up with why we were what we were above sea level. And it was a little different, but not good course. I thought both courses are very similar. I didn't think the greens were as fast, I thought, in the second round. I shot a 90. I had 35 putts. I hit 36% fairways and 39% greens. Obviously, my score went up. Those numbers went down. I had three doubles on the front. I had a triple and two doubles on the back. So I definitely was not scared of the bigger numbers that round, which if you look at both rounds, you cut those in half, and there's probably my seven-stroke difference from round one to round two.
Pretty solid, though.
I know you say that, but in retrospect...
Oh, yeah, it's still a kick in the pants.
You got better, I got worse.
It's true. I mean, I doubled better, I my worse. Greens and rag. I mean, you can't say that about many rounds.
No, you did double that. I was able to card a birdie in round two, so we were able to take our first fireball birdie juice of the day. And
so good once it hits your lips.
Yeah, but if I remember right, I think we started taking some even for some net birdies.
We may or may not have.
just because we were getting antsy and we wanted to.
And we were hiding together in that one. I think that was the only round that we rode together the entire weekend?
We did, and I think that's something we got to think about more the next time we go, is to make sure that we're there to support each other through this. Even if it's competition, I think we play better. I don't know if it's the music we play or whatever it may be, but I definitely think we play a little bit better when it's the two of us together.
Smoking and jiving.
But yeah. So, but yeah, day one. We were wet. I think we took... Did we end up taking our stuff in that night, try to dry off? I can't remember. I know the car...
I know you did. I believe I just left mine in. I didn't want to carry anything else. All I wanted was to go into Billy's hot tub.
Yeah. I think we took the towels in at least, tried to dry them off. Things were wet, and I don't know if they really dried out, but it did proceed to rain from the time we stopped golf. Pretty much stopped as we pulled into the parking lot of round number three.
Well, Caledonia for round three that morning, I think it stopped probably about, I mean, I was up early that time, that day to work out, and it was not raining outside at five.
But I thought we drove through some rain, the rain to get there, though. Maybe we just drove through a quick shower to get there.
Maybe we'll use a Treon term. Maybe a dry drizzle.
A dry drizzle. I've never heard that.
Oh, that's one of his keynote.
All right. Regardless, we did not get rained on while we played, and that was what we did consider the first major of the year was day two. We went into a 36-hole match play. I do think we talked that night, and I do have a recording with that, and we'll probably share here. I want to say we both really weren't all that upset after day one. I think we were a little cold and wet, but overall, I didn't think we were that upset with the way we played. We still had some high expectations going into day two.
I believe I was actually saying I'm horrible at golf, but tomorrow's a new day and we're ready to go.
Really? I could have sworn we were both... I mean, we were upset, obviously, but we weren't like... I didn't think we were turning that over yet, where we were that negative.
Yeah, that might have been saved for night two.
Maybe. I think with all the food that we ordered...
We ordered so much food. When you put Anthony in charge of ordering food, you're going to get a buffet.
It was good, though.
It was.
We'll give them that. And let's go ahead and take a listen to what we said after day one. All right, Greg, end of day one, Myrtle Beach trip. What's your thoughts?
Overall? I suck at golf.
You suck at golf? These are the first two rounds of the year, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, many more to come. Only can get a little bit better. I'd say overall it was wet. It was cold. The last two holes, last probably two and a half holes, were pretty tough in the rain. But yeah. Had a good time. Both courses were really nice today.
Super good. Rough was bad. Rough was tough to get out of just because...
It wasn't really rough.
Yeah, it was just dead grass.
I think
greens were nice. Like even though Tradition was a little furry, I think greens are nice. I think they rolled pretty darn well. I think that ultimately I had a lot of bright spots, but way more bad spots.
Well, like we talked, you know what tomorrow is, right?
36-hole match play.
Is that what you want to do? It is day one of our major. It's our first major.
Let's do it.
All right, 36-hole match play. We'll add in the pops depending on what the differential is at each course. We'll figure that out tomorrow. If we have some time, we'll give you everybody some highlights. But I don't know. I enjoyed today. I struggled a little bit as well. Only can get better for tomorrow.
You didn't quit, though.
I didn't quit. Did you think I was going to quit?
After you said you wanted to quit golf, yes.
But I always say that.
Just kidding.
I do always say that. I need to stop that.
No, you put your big girl pants on and went back to it.
It made birdie, actually, I think, a couple holes later.
I think I did, too.
It's true. We did birdie one right on top of each other. All right, maybe many more tomorrow. We'll see how it goes.
But Caledonia. Now, Caledonia was the course that I was probably looking forward the most to play. I've heard nothing but good things with it, and it did not disappoint. I thought it was a fun course.
Challenging.
I think challenging, but all of these courses, now that we've played them once, I know you've played the one before. I think going back there, man, I the opportunity, you know, if I'm hitting the ball just a little bit better, you really could score on some of these courses and have some a little bit, obviously more success than we did, but and have just a little even better time, a little better conditions, maybe not as wet. Although, if it's drier, does the ball roll out more?
So you're saying a couple more of my balls would probably roll further out of bounds, or that?
Not just yours, I think some too. We did have a lot of plugged balls that day because it did hold up quite a bit of rain from the night before.
True.
There wasn't much puddle type wet, but there were some standing water in some areas. I do remember.
No, that. I really like the course as far as challenging tee shots. Typical Myrtle Beach, you got waste bunkers everywhere that if you're not hitting fairways, you're hitting out of a waste bunker more than likely. I think that course actually was one of my favorites of the trip, even though I didn't score very well. But I would say that if I was hitting the ball well, that's a course I would want to go back and play.
Yeah, I would too. That was a pretty nice one. That may be one where you look at, because that had really that neat clubhouse. That's maybe one where you play the 36 there and you just turn, have lunch there. And then go back.
What do you mean? You don't even have to pay for lunch. It had free chowder.
Yeah, it did. And we didn't stop for that. I think I looked at the guy like he was crazy offering something for free.
Now that one, I did not double my green and regs again. I figured that I was going back to, I was on the down tick. So I went 105, 94. I was like, all right, I'm going to break 90 on this round and be good to go. No. Shot right back up to a 105 and had 33 putts. I was 3 putt free on this course, which was a good change. But once again, I was 22% green in regs and 23% fairway in reg. But a 3 putt free round. It's pretty shocking.
Yeah. No, those are always a positive. Those are always a positive.
This one, I did somehow finish the front and the back going par to finish with a 55-50.
Yeah, I do remember that. I think now this was our match play. I don't really want to go hole for hole because I'm trying to block a little bit out of this. Yes, we are trying to move forward in that positive note. I want to say I took a quick...
Oh, yeah.
I think we tied the first hole, and then maybe I won five straight holes or six straight
holes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, like, at the end of nine, I kind of glanced over. I was like, are you, like, eight up? And you were like, actually, yeah, no, I'm six.
Six or seven.
Because I think I ended up winning eight and nine.
I think I gave a couple back to you. No, you won 10. You may have won 9 and 10. I think that's what it was. I think you won 9 and 8, 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And I gave it back to a 4 lead, and then I was able to get maybe one or two more. But yeah, I'll be honest, out of the 36-hole match, it really never got close after you had a really rough start. I actually started pretty well. I was 2 over through 6. And I was hitting fairways. If I missed the green, I didn't get up and down, but I was just making bogeys with it. Didn't make any putts. I did end the day with an 85. I went 41, 44. Definitely fell apart a little bit on the back. I had, 44% greens in regulation. I was I was 4 for 6 fairways. No, that's not right. 2%. Yeah. So I was 4% greens, 46% fairways. So my numbers a little below than what I like to average. And then I had 36 putts, like I said, all weekend. I didn't make putts. I didn't. I had one 3-putt, but I actually 3-putted for a par on a par 5. I guess that's not really the worst thing in the world. Not the best, but not the worst thing in the world. Pars this weekend.
Pars, par.
Good scores. Par's a par. But I still, 85, I wasn't completely disappointed. I had a double on the front. I did have 3 doubles on the back. So shooting 41 on the front with a double, and I think it was a bad double. I think, again, I had a spot from the fairway. It was. I do remember. I was a little left off the tee, laid up to a good spot, and I missed probably by, back right by 4 yards, I missed, and I was in a little pot bunker. And then that's when I went from front of the bunker to about 30 yards in front of the green, because I bladed it over the green. And then I worked my way back for that solid double.
So you were, five. You said 85?
I shot 80.
So 85 net 78. Were you playing at a 7?
85 net 76.
76.
76.
And then you still beat my 13 strokes even on net.
Yeah.
It's pretty my net so score that was can't even first... beat your actual score. And we were playing a match.
We were playing a match. Like, it wasn't our best golf. It wasn't our best golf, that's for sure. But yeah, so that was the first round of the 36. From there, again, we went to another course on the Hammock Golf Trail, which was phenomenal. If anybody's looking to play golf courses in Pauley's Plantation or Murrells Inlet area, check them out. They did a great job setting us up. We went pretty much across the street. We did have to make a quick stop back at Willbrook at Tradition to pick up a rangefinder.
That was my fault. I actually just wanted to go back and learn more about the community and the area from that guy. Unfortunately, he was not working, so I just grabbed my rangefinder and moved on.
Yeah, there we go. And we will leave out the part out Caledonia where I fell in a hole that was, in my head, it was the size of a basketball.
I totally forgot about this.
It probably really wasn't.
It was great. And tell you the truth, we were so caught up, donating to the Folds of Honor that you just decided to, in a great leap of faith, jump into a hole.
Yeah. Which actually ended up hurting me. It was a couple of days later, but I didn't really see how swollen my ankle was. All fine now. No big deal.
Yeah, champion.
I survived, moved on.
Suck it up, play like a champion.
I did cut my finger, taped it up, moved on, and kept rolling there. So didn't look good. Had our fairway fit gear out there. So I know, I think that was when she actually complimented us on our apparel that we were wearing and even asked us a little bit about it. So that was the first time we were able to talk a little bit about fairway fit. Our apparel that we'll have out here on our website.
Luckily,
soon.
She wasn't there for the next 4 holes to see me lose all 3 of the balls that I had just bought from her.
True blue was not just blue, it was sunny. We finally got some sun that came out.
I believe I undo a t-shirt on this hole or on this course.
I was
going
to say, I think we got down to short sleeves and with no sleeves underneath. I want to say it was the best weather we had. Definitely didn't get hot, but it was great. I really liked it. Had some little humidity coming off the course. True Blue was a little bit more open than Caledonia. You could let it rip a little bit more and be able to find it, play out of some rough spots that we were hitting. But how'd you do at True Blue when we got there?
I would say that okay, I wrote the ship a little bit where I dropped the score again. It seems like the second round of the days seem to be my better rounds of the day, even though they're not great. I shot a 98, which is still pretty bad. But this is what's funny about it. 28 putts. 22 greens in reg. 46 fairways in reg. And this is the crazy stat on this one. I had 10 one putts. Now, I can guarantee you that seven of those one putts or eight of those one putts were probably gimmies that were inside close after a chip and more than likely probably for double bogey. But I might be the only person in the history of golf to record an eagle and a birdie on the same nine and shoot a 49.
Birdie, eagle, and shoot a 49.
Yes, sir. I went 49-49 to shoot 98. And on the front nine, I eagled number four because I believe that we were going dormy. And I remember talking to Billy and being like, hey, I know that we're kind of playing a match play cart versus cart. I said, but I have to be an idiot and just go for this green and two over this water. And somehow I pulled it out of my butt.
I don't know if it was exactly that hole, but it was close to doing that. Did you go, so you went, you eagled four and you birdied seven?
Yes.
Eagled four, birdied seven. Yeah. Okay. I'm remembering this course a little bit more. And I did actually start off pretty hot there. I bogeyed one, was a par five. I do remember how I was in the bunker off the tee. Bogeyed one, and then I actually rolled for a little bit there. Through the first seven holes, I was one under.
You're playing pretty well.
When I said I didn't make any putts, I did for about a three-hole stretch there. I made some.
Because I think on four, I eagled and you birdied.
Yeah, so, yeah, we were both. This was like a horseshoe par five, and we took a lot out. We went straight over the water, and we both had, I think you had hybrid, and I had four iron in, maybe five iron in. And your ball hit the green, and I think I played to go over the green. So maybe that's why I did hit four iron. And I was able to get up and down. He actually hit a pretty good chip. It was in a little bit awkward spot, hit a good chip, and then left me about 4 feet. And I think you drained probably about a 16, 17 foot.
I did drain a big putt on that one. Yeah, I think I got the tiger fist bump going on that one. That's
nice. And that was right after that kind of horseshoe island type green
par three
TBC Sawgrass type par three. That was, they had a lot of cool holes there too. Oh, yeah. True Blue, actually.
I enjoyed that course, even though I wasn't playing well. I mean, all of the courses, they just play differently and are laid out differently than the courses that you play up here in Northern Virginia. So it's always good to go down there and see a different course, see a different layout.
I will say I always feel like at Myrtle, the rough is a little bit more challenging than up here because the higher Bermuda rough, it likes to grab your club a little bit. It closes you off or leaves it wide open. So getting through thicker rough is a little bit more challenging. With it being more dormant still, I didn't think it was that hard hitting out of the rough. So even though we weren't hitting a lot of fairways, as long as we had looks in, I say that we should have hit more greens. We definitely should have hit more greens, more and more stats.
I almost hit a third of them. That just tells me that, you know, like with 28 putts, that just means that I was probably chipping it close, and or I had a lot of those fringe putts that don't count as a putt.
Yeah.
So the one thing here is I did shoot my best round at True Blue. I shot an 80. I went 39-41. I went into number 8 at even par, and I doubled 9. So it was a par 37. I doubled 9 with a ball. If you remember, I hit it. I hit the only tree that was remotely in the path of the ball off the tee, and it fell right back into the water. And then I hit a pretty aggressive swinging drive, and I think I parred that hole, but obviously hitting 3 from the tee, it makes it pretty tough to score. So yeah, I went 39, fell apart a little bit. I did bogey, double bogeyed 18. Yeah, so that was a good, so I shoot 80 when I double bogey 9 and I double bogey 18.
Solid way to start, right?
Yeah, started the rounds, just did not finish the round. And then 18, that was the one that kind of hurt a little bit because I double bogeyed from the center of the fairway. Just again, if I missed greens, I could not get up and down, save my life. And there it was, a bunker into the water, chipping a putt. So, yeah, day 2. Great course. I still think we haven't missed. Our choices for courses were phenomenal.
A plus all around. Whoever booked this trip deserves a gold star.
Yeah. Well, that I did. I got lucky there. I did have my dad when we were booking this, and being a local to Myrtle, he was able to help out quite a bit. So that did put an end to the first major. I think we ended up, what we said, we ended up, I was a 9-8. Yeah. It was 9-8 over the 36-hole match play. I think we vowed in the last episode that we're going to definitely try to make him a little bit more competitive as we move forward, and not as cutthroat feeling, maybe a little bit more supportive of both of us. Cool. And we're going to get a little more gentle. I think we will. The expectations were skyrocketed. And I do know, coming off the 80 with one round to play, I did tell myself that it was time to start playing. I wanted a round in the 70s pretty bad down there. I know you did too, but I wanted another one. And so after we were packed up, we loaded the truck up and we headed off to round number 5 Sunday morning. Another bright early one. This one I think was about 10 minutes past from the other courses we were playing, and this was Pauly's Plantation. And I'll tell you what, another beautiful entry. I think all of them had some really spectacular clubhouses, some views that were great. This was a little bit more on the water and another great golf course when we pulled into. We got there a little bit earlier, had a little bit extra time.
It's true. And I believe that I got yelled at for taking too long going to the bathroom and grabbing a drink before we left by Billy.
Just, you might have. I don't remember that, but you might have. But I do think this is the one we actually both said we wanted to try to hit a couple balls beforehand, and we were able to hit a couple balls beforehand. Sometimes I look back at the numbers now, maybe we shouldn't have hit balls beforehand.
Yeah, that round went south pretty quickly for me.
Yeah, it did for me too. I'll go first on this one. I shot 88. I went 44-44. I actually didn't start all that bad. Was able to par one, then threw up a great double bogey. Then I parred, went birdie. So I was able to get the one under through about 4 holes, and then the wheels fell off. It was bogey, double, triple, double. The finish for a 44. 44 on the front, 44 on the back. A combination of, I had 4 penalty strokes I gave up. I had 2 doubles on the and a triple on the front. I had 2 more doubles on the back. Again, I just couldn't get it going. Common theme of the weekend, 28% greens in regulation, 50% fairways. I think overall,
surprising. I thought you actually hit the ball off the tee very well when it came to that round. I only remember I think it was 12, you having a ball mishit off of the tee.
And that was the long par five down straight.
Pretty much dead straight, yeah. Line. Where both of us went right.
It was, I think probably a couple of those I had looks in. And then on 18, I know on 18 I did pull one. But yeah, I think overall the weekend I hit the longer stuff pretty well. I just, the greens were down. Only had 28% greens, 33 putts. I seem to be right in that low 30 numbers, actually mid to low 30 number all weekend. 88, rounded out the weekend, still had a lot of fun. Just couldn't put it together.
Yeah. I mean, I started a complete opposite. I mean, I guess you could say I shot a 106 with 38 putts, 28% green and reg, and 36 fairways and reg. But after a solid warm up, which is the first time that we hit balls before we played all weekend, I carded a 10 on one.
A 10 on one?
I mean, technically it was a 10.
What was one? One was the par five.
One was
a little bit
was
further
a par
away.
Five that was pretty straight, maybe a slight dogleg right next to the driving range. And
yep.
I
think you hit one on the driving range.
I basically lost. I was dropping two, hitting three, and then got in the fairway and then proceeded to just blow up. I think I left a wedge short, duffed a wedge. Yeah. Then sculled one over. I mean, it was a bad start for sure. I carded one par on the front nine to shoot 54, and then pretty much blew up the entire back except for 18 when I think I was so upset. I just swung as hard as I could and almost killed the old men that were pissed off that we finally caught them.
Yeah, they were. They died to play it off that they were helping us on that little figure eight out there, but we flew through that round. Actually, I don't think we ever felt like we were played slow all weekend, but we definitely picked it up a little bit on round five. We did play a threesome because one of our members decided just to be our caddy because his back hurt from his CrossFit workouts that he started the week before.
If we have a picture of him with his, you know, pants pulled up, socks, the pink flamingo outfit will live in infamy in my mind. I don't know why it will, but it will.
Yeah, no, he did nail that part of it 100%. But yeah, so there's our five rounds. I did take some averages. I was able to calculate some things earlier today. I averaged 85. I averaged 34 putts, 42% greens, 55% fairways. I carded 19 double bogeys or worse, and I only was able to get 4 birdies in 5 rounds, which...
You only had 4 birdies?
4 birdies. 3 and 4 hole stretch, and I only had 4.
That's crazy considering I had 2.
And an eagle.
Wow.
Didn't make putts.
It's mind-boggling.
So while I was looking at the stats, I think I found a website that I think I'm going to read some numbers off to you, and I think it's something we need to remember. And I'll share this website to you because I thought it was pretty cool because you can just put stuff in and it gives you some numbers on
spits out analytics.
A little bit like that. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So one thing we talked about in the last episode is expectations. And I think we need to remember not even scratch golfers are perfect and not even single digit handicaps are perfect. And we're definitely not. We just read you many reasons and went over many holes where we weren't perfect. But I took it from a 9 handicap. All right, since that's your goal, a single digit, a 9 handicap. Let's play a game out of this. What do you think of fairway and regulation of a 9 handicap?
Oh, Jesus. After I just said all of my numbers, I would say
a 9 handicap.
The average 9 handicap is probably hitting 50 to 60% fairway and regs.
So a 9 handicap has an average driving distance of 250 yards, which I'd like to think you're over that average-wise. Only hits 49% of his fairways.
Okay. I mean, I'm a stickler. If I'm an inch off the fairway, I'm calling it right.
Right, which is fine, but still 49%. All right, so the goal would be obviously 7. You need it 7 fairways around in an average course.
Mm-hmm.
7 fairways. Right?
Counting par threes. No.
Yeah, 7
but
fairways.
But technically don't. And, I mean, no. I guess, yeah, you're right.
No, it's 14, right? It's out of 14. So if you're hitting 2 right now, you average, you're not that far off from 7 fairways.
No.
And that's average. So there's going to be rounds you hit 5. There's going to be rounds you hit 9. So I think we got to remember we don't need to be 14 of 14 to be where we want to be.
I need to be 14 of 14 in play. I don't care. I almost don't care about fairways. I need to be in play.
Okay, so you double in play, you're going to hit more 100%, fairways. Yeah. So that's where I'm getting at. So 49%. So let's go next one. Greens and regulation. What do you think your number is?
60.
9 handicap.
60.
Say it again. 37%.
What?
37% is what a 9 handicap hits in greens of
regulation. You just have to be under then. You have to be sitting there like me having 10 one putts then.
One putts. We'll get to that too. I have another good stat. I do know the quick article I read. It said you're 25% more likely to hit the green from the fairway than you are from the rough. So obviously more fairways mean more greens. Not tremendous amount more, but more greens. So 37%. If you took your averages, let's say you're averaging 20% out of 18, so you're hitting 2, you need to hit 3 or 4 more greens around.
Okay.
To be a 9 handicap. Light at the end of the tunnel right here. So up and down percentage. What is the percent a 9 handicap was able to get up and down? This one's going to hurt a little bit.
That one's got to be high because a 9 handicap is probably getting up. And you said 37% green and reg. So I'm going to say
70%. 43%.
What?
And when I say it hurts, it's because I don't think I got up and down more than 2 times the whole round. And if I'm only hitting less than half the greens, I'm not getting up and down 1 out of 10 times. 43% for a 9 handicap.
Okay, so the numbers and percentages are a lot lower than I put them up on a pedestal.
Right. How many putts per round?
30.
31.
That was close on that one.
Now, that's one I do think both of us really do need to improve on. That's something I know I vowed in my practice sessions to concentrate a little bit more on putting. I've been looking up putting drills and everything. So now, that was a 9 handicap. Now, my goal is a 3 handicap. All right, fairways, average 268 yards. I think I'm pretty close to that. 50% fairways and regulation.
All right, well, that's going to be an issue.
Hold on here. Look at that. 49% for a 9, 50% for a 3.
Wow.
It's the same. It's basically the same. Let's be honest. It's
okay. That
greens and regulation. All right. Now, I told you my goal when I think I can break 80, I usually hit about 10 greens. All right. So greens and regulations, 53%.
So that's 10% higher than a 9 handicap.
So a 9 was 37%.
I thought it was 43%.
That's the up and down one. Up and down. So 37% greens for a 9 handicap, 53% for a 3 handicap. So you're hitting more greens.
That's crazy. I mean, it's not that higher than you're looking at 1 to 2
around. Up and down percentage. Yeah. Up and down a percentage was 50%. So you're getting up and down 50% of the time. And that's the one that I think really kicked me over the weekend. I like to think I'm closer to that on an average, but this weekend I was not. I can't even say anything different. So 43% for a 9 handicap, gets up and down 43% of the time. For a 3 handicap, it was 50% of the time. And then putts. All right, for a 9 handicap, it was 31 putts. For a 3 handicap, what's your number? What's your guess?
31. I'm going to guess 30.
29.8. So yeah, 30 putts. One putt difference.
That's ridiculous. That's simplistic. Okay, so golf's an easy game, right?
So, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not as far away as we think. And that's why I pulled the numbers. I think we need to remember that golf is difficult. And in this website, it's actually pretty cool. It tells you at a 9 handicap, like, what is your green regulation with a 7-iron in your hand, with a 6-iron in your hand, with a 5-iron in your hand. So I'll send that to you and you can take a look at it. But yeah, so I think after the recap, maybe I was a little bit more down on myself. But when I found this website earlier today, I'm like, golf's a tough game. We're not that bad. Yeah.
I mean, 12 out of 90 holes. And birdied two. I parred 12. I birdied two and I eagled one. So that means 15 of the 90 holes, I was even or better.
15 of the 90 holes. There. That's what? 15%? Yes. 30? About 15%?
But I found this cool little thing. I found this cool little thing that was, you're always talking about my mental game, right? You're always talking about me, my mentality on the course. And I found 10 mental mistakes to avoid as far as for a golfer, obviously, not just in life.
Hold on. I'm going to guess number one. Because one thing I do think we look at the exact same stuff on social media. Can I guess
100%. I'm guilty of it so bad. Yes.
Get to the course in time to work.
Rushing to the course. Get there 30 plus minutes early to mentally and physically prepare for the day. Number one. All right. This is probably something that I do mentally. I don't really voice it a bunch, but setting a score goal. So if basically you go into a round saying, I want this to be a 70s round, I mean, you're putting pressure on yourself. You don't need it to. So never set a score goal. Stick to your process instead. Not having a plan. So basically on every tee box, they want you to, you know, have a strategy, not just being like, I'm going to hit this and see where it goes. I've gotten up. I mean, I'm pretty sure on 18 at Paulie's Plantation, I just said, I don't care where this ball goes. I'm going to swing as hard as I can. And it almost killed, you know, old man Ned up there at the green. Not sticking to your routine. So getting off routine, you know, your pre-shot routine, which I'm still trying to develop and shorten up and change because you still say it's too long. This one I'm also guilty of. Negative self-talk.
I think both of us are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Both of us. I mean, yeah. You can't make it. It says don't make it harder by talking trash to yourself, for lack of better terms. It wasn't that way. It was worded in a different way.
Can we talking trash to another person?
Exactly. Can I just this is probably something we're guilty of during the match as well. Rooting against playing partners.
I would say, in Myrtle, yes. I don't necessarily. You know, I guess there's some times.
Oh, there was 100% chance that there was times during Myrtle that I was like, I hope he crashes and burns.
Okay. Yeah, but Myrtle, I guess we go back to Myrtle felt differently. I like in our normal rounds.
Yeah, in our normal rounds, we're way better.
It's a little bit different.
It kind of got to me, like, negative body language. So, like, taking into account your body language. Yeah. And I kind of like that. Relax between shots, both mentally, recharge with fireball. I'm sorry, recharge and focus later in the round.
Okay.
But fireball would probably also help relax between shots.
Yeah. Be quick enough. Be quick to get it though, because they'll be going.
Getting out of control, angry. I may or may not have, like I said last I possibly, if I was rich enough, I probably would have broken every single club in my bag at one point during this round.
Yeah, but that, again, I think that was more of this situation, not always.
It's true. I keep a level head. I'm able to laugh at myself just as much as I am to put myself under pressure.
Yeah, never an out of control anger.
And then one of the things that's funny is focusing on what you don't want. So don't say, "Oh, I don't want to go into the water there. I don't want to tug this to the left. I don't want to hit my famous push fade." You know.
Yeah.
Basically, they said focus on where you want the ball to end up, and that's where you want to do it. So, good old mindset, people. Gotta love them.
Yeah. Two things on that. One, that's phenomenal. I actually have seen that, and I was the same way. It definitely took a little things, got me straight to the heart there that I need to work on as well, too. The body language thing, I saw a post the other day that was quite humorous. It actually says you breathe more oxygen when you have your hands on your knees and you're resting. And it said, can somebody please show this to my coach 20 years ago? Because every coach lied to me growing up. Because they always said, stand up, stand tall.
Stand up, hands on your head. You can breathe deeper that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So you actually get more oxygen back that way. And then, so that was a big one there. And I can't even remember the second one. I lost my train of thought there. I was so focused on getting that one out. But yeah, those are good. Those are solid. There's just some things we can work on. Maybe make a t-shirt out of it. A couple of them, at least, anyway.
Relax. And fireball. Mentally tough.
Fireball. So I do think, let's plan. It said to have a plan before you go, before you have a attack a hole. So let's plan. I know, I think we got major number two coming up here shortly, don't we?
We do, next week.
Yeah. Where's that?
Actually, wait. It's actually in exactly 1 week.
It is. We're going to play next Wednesday. We are both traveling back to the Myrtle Beach area to see family. We're traveling separately. And I think you found this course. How'd you find this course?
Once again, I will set it up. I've played it before. My dad found it somewhere down there a couple years ago. And it's a great little course. It's called Lockwood Folly. It's, you know, a blend of one of those intercoastal courses where you got woods and everything like that, but then there is like some solid water holes along, like kind of set up like the par three that we played at Polly's Plantation, where like it's got that kind of marshland out there with some water there, but cool little clubhouse, you know, cool little course, kind of laid back. Never really felt anybody like, you know, pushing us or people that are being inconsiderate when it comes to golf there. So it was always a good place to take my dad. Plus they had handicap carts where they would put the blue flag on us for him and allow us to drive anywhere on the course. So it was always a good fit for us.
There we go. We'll be playing with our pops. I know my pops is coming. We got it set up. Your dad and me, I think we said about a
9:20.
9:20.
And when it comes to anything, my dad is later than me, so I can guarantee you that we probably won't have time to hit balls when we get there. Or Sim out of the house at 6 a.m. to get us there in time. Might tell him the tee times is 6.
You know me. You think I'm bad about being on time. My dad is 10 times worse. He is definitely the king of showing up to the airport 4 hours in advance because you have to be an hour early for your 2 hour early
check-in. I'm pretty sure last year, didn't he beat us to Compass Point when we were about 5 minutes away from the course? That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. That's my dad. So when you know that, and that's how you know I'm a stickler to be on time as well too, or at least close to it. But yeah, I look forward to that. So well, next time we'll get together, we'll be talking about major number two, try to get some tidbits down there, get things cleaned up, get things going. And you got any plans to play before that?
Not set in stone yet. I'm trying to possibly play Compass Point, but we'll see. Maybe at least a range session prior to Wednesday. And there, and then obviously, if the weather's nice, you know that I'm going to be night putting.
Night putting's
always a good one.
The weather doesn't look perfect down there. It still looks like it's in the mid 60s. A little bit of shower, so we'll have to see how it goes
on
as we get close.
On
to
Wednesday,
it.
I believe it's like 10% afternoon, okay. And it's going to be like 67.
Okay, well, that's not bad.
Because I looked it up like actually for Lockwood Folly, not Myrtle and not Leland. So I looked it up for them, and it was about 67 and a 10% chance of rain.
Yeah, I was looking up more of the Myrtle Beach side. Yeah, I'm going to try to do the same. I got some plans to play, taking the family down there. Everybody's taking their clubs, so we're going to try to get everybody out at least to a par three to get the kids to play a little bit too. I know Court wants to play a round as well, and then with Pops' courses right there. So look forward to it. Need a nice little break. Good little trip down to see some family, and we'll catch up. But yeah, good talking to you. Good recap tonight. And got anything else?
No, sir.
Yeah, I think we're good to go. Thanks for everybody listening. Leave a comment below, subscribe, and we'll check you at the ninth green at 9.